tell us, I guess, your story, what happened, what you did, what happened.
All right. First, I'll give you a little background. I am very worried about the changes they make on that, and that's what prompted me to want to make these phone calls, because as a teacher, I'm going to be directly affected, but I also have a son who's a fireman, a son who's a policeman, a daughter-in-law who's a teacher, and a daughter that's going to school to be a teacher, so I feel like my entire family is being attacked. So I was very concerned about it. Saturday, I tried to make some phone calls. I was able to leave a message with Rita Hart for her to call me back. Tried to leave a message for him. Didn't get through to any kind of an answering machine. Sunday morning after church, Rita had called me back, and we had a nice visit about it. She was trying to make me understand, and she was very understanding of my concerns as well, and she thought it was kind of odd that I wasn't able to get to an answering machine for him. So then I was going to go to that rally in Davenport that they had, and I had a little time, and I thought, well, I'm going to try to give him a call again. Kind of expected to not even get to an answering machine, but I did, so I had to come up for the moment what I was going to say. So I was just telling him to please vote no, make sure you understand what it is you're going to be voting on. If nothing else, I guess the way I started was, I said who I was, Mary Jo Peterson. Could you please give me a call back so we could talk about the Chapter 20 changes that I'm very concerned about? And when I ended, I thought, if he doesn't call me back, I want him to know that I'd like him to vote no. So I said, if nothing else, please vote no. If you don't, I'll remember our election. Hung up, didn't think anything else about it, went to the rally. As I'm leaving the rally, heading home, he did call me back. I went to talk to him, explained my concerns, and that's when I wanted him to please study the bill before they voted. Don't just vote on it. That it was very much going to hurt my family, all these changes that they were proposing. And at the point where I said, we all know that it's a Koch brother product being pushed through our state, then he stopped me and said, excuse me? And I said, don't tell me you don't know this is a Koch brother project that they're pushing through. Everybody knows this is from the Koch brothers. And then he said, ma'am, I'm going to stop you right there. I want you to know that I'm going to be turning your name into the state police for threatening me. And I said, threatening you? When did I threaten you? And he said, on the voicemail that you left me, you threatened me. I said, I didn't threaten you. I told you I wouldn't vote for you. Ma'am, you knew you wouldn't vote for me anyway. And I said, you're right, but I want to be able to tell everybody why. And then he said, expect a phone call or a visit from the state police. And that's when I hung up. I was kind of in shock. I was now not only afraid of what's going to happen to my job, I'm afraid I'm going to be possibly arrested for saying something, and that worried me. And I did call Rita Hart back. I asked her if this could be even something that could happen. She was actually kind of in shock that it would even come up. Made some phone calls for me. Suggested I did call an attorney. We thought we should talk to some reporters because maybe that would put enough pressure on him that he would decide not to turn my name into the state police at that point. And the attorney said that was a good idea. Go ahead and share the information far and wide. Maybe there'd be enough pressure. He wouldn't turn your name in. That's kind of where I'm at. I did what I was told. I guess I shared it, and it's been shared a few other times.
Have you heard anything else? Has anybody, you know, from law enforcement contacted you at all? Has that happened?
No, they haven't. And he's not contacted me. Nobody else has contacted me either. But I do know the attorney said if something came from it, that I was to call him back.
I guess at this point, are you, after a kind of blowover, you think this kind of was just a spur of the moment thing? You're not too worried about it, or is this something that? From the law enforcement side, not the bill side.
Right.
You think it's just kind of now it's over? Are you still just...
Well, I would like to think it is. I guess I don't know. What worries me now is I've had a lot of people tell me that they're afraid to call their representatives because they don't want to have something like that happen. And that concerns me because we shouldn't be afraid to call our representatives. But I will tell you, right after I had that, right after I hung up, I thought, am I going to do this again? Because I don't know what kind of trouble I could get into just talking to somebody. I didn't think I could get in trouble for talking to somebody. I thought we had protections on that, but who knows in this day and age.
you didn't think your message was threatening from you,
No. I didn't say anything that was threatening, because telling him I'm not going to vote for him shouldn't be a threat. I can vote for whoever I want. That should not be a threat.
From the bill standpoint, I know they're, as we're talking, they're still debating it. Are you following it closely?
Yes, I am.
I guess, is there a particular parts of the bill from that part? Is it just the overall bill, or is there particular parts of it that are the most troubling?
It's pretty much the overall bill, because they're taking away so many protections, especially teachers and public workers are going to be targeted. They do have a few extra protections for the police and fire, but I think that's round two where they'll take the rest of them away. But the only thing we'll be left to be able to bargain on is our wages. We could lose our insurance. We could lose any of our seniority. We could lose everything that we've had, that we've built over the last 40 years to make this be an honorable job. I mean, that's when my children wanted to go into stuff like that, I thought, well, that's good. This is an honorable job. It has good protections, good benefits. It would be a good thing to do, and I encouraged them to, follow your dream. It's good. It's a nice, safe, middle-class job, but I don't know. I'm feeling concerned about it all the way around. I know when it happened in Wisconsin, many, many teachers lost a big chunk of their salary. I know when I found out it was coming up for them to discuss on Friday when I come home from work, I was very distraught telling my husband about it. I told him that I already knew I had to work until I was 70, but now I was afraid I was going to have to work until I died, whether that was 70 or 90. I didn't know what, but it worried me terrible that could even happen. And he's disabled, so he's got a limited amount of money. Taking a big hit on my paycheck would hurt us quite a bit, especially with a daughter in college yet. The whole, I was very upset Friday night, worrying about my life coming crashing down and my kids coming crashing down and not being able to help them.
Okay. Anything else you'd like to say, Mary Jo?
I just hope this, I hope they're wise and study things in Des Moines before they vote and that they do end up voting it down. I would like to think that our Iowa representatives really do think about the people that they're there to support.